Tim Bloom, thanks for coming to North State Public Radio today.
Thank you, Nolan. It's nice to be here.
So the first question is, how does it feel to be back in Chico after a little break?
It always feels nice to return to Chico. Have a lot of history here. You know, I went to college here. I lived here after college for probably 4 years and sort of came of age musically here. And it's a special place, as anyone who's lived here will tell you. This time of year, it has so many different moods here. You know, like the summertime is hot and you can stay outside all night and it's warm nights. But in the fall and in the winter, you get that sort of weakened sunlight that comes at a lower angle and it's trying to warm up the ground, and the trees don't have very many leaves left on them, and the green grass is starting to poke through the fallen leaves, and it's an evocative season here in Chico for me.
It seems like a lot of your songwriting kind of draws off the sort of natural aspects of your environments, and so Chico's a good place to develop as a musician.
It is, and it was an interesting place to develop as a musician, because it was, especially back in the, you know, early 90s, it was a lot more isolated than it is now. I mean, nothing's really that isolated now. But back then it was like, we saw a few bands that came through, but we just sort of did our own thing. We were protected from any sort of music scene or something.
The music industry?
Yeah, we weren't quite protected from that, because we did end up signing with a major label. But before, you know, leading up to that, the formative, you know, the start was, we were pretty isolated, which I think was helpful for us.
Now, I want to go back all the way before you even moved to Chico. You're living in Southern California. And what's the story as far as, you know, when did you first get hooked on music, and when did you first begin writing your own songs?
I grew up going to church. My parents were Lutheran. They still are Lutheran, I suppose. And I had to go to church and do confirmation classes and Sunday school. And I was able to sing even when I was little. And so I was always recruited by the choir director. So I sang in the choir in church, and in school I would sing in the chorus, and I did some drama in school. Always a little bit half-hearted, but I liked it enough to do it, but I never really thought that much about it. And then I got sort of the bug, you know, like when I started listening to, you know, Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple and Black Sabbath, I sort of got the bug to play some other kind of music besides just hymns and whatnot. And that was right around, I was kind of old already. I mean, that probably started happening around 17 or 18. And I finally learned how to play guitar. I already knew how to play piano somewhat. But a friend of mine who went to school here before me, he was a year older than me, Matt Downer, he had loaned me an old nylon string guitar that I learned how to play on as soon as I moved up here. And I didn't know anybody, didn't have any friends really here. So I would just sit in the dorms and just smoke pot and play songs. And for whatever reason, I wasn't interested in learning like Peaceful Easy Feeling and Sweet Home Alabama. I wanted to, even from the very beginning, it seemed more natural to me to just try to make up my own songs. It wasn't really a conscious thing. It was just, if I was going to learn something, I might as well make it my own song instead of somebody else's song.
I totally agree with that. So sticking on the topic of writing, how do you begin putting together your own material? And then how does it work when you're bringing that to collaborate with the Hips?
I usually will become aware of some concept or some sort of idea that is new to me and that I think would make a cool song, something that has enough depth so that you can put some allegory in there and some layers, that so it's not just really straightforward. I write the words and the melody and whatever chords fit the melody kind of all at the same time. I don't really think of it as separate stuff. Once in a while, I'll have a set of words. I'll have some stanzas or some couplets and lines that don't have music to them, and it's possible to put them to music for me, but I like it more when it's all integrated at the same time. And sometimes I'll specifically try to write a song for the Mother Hips, because the Mother Hips has been around for long enough. We've made enough recordings so that we sort of have an identity musically. There's a formula. And if sometimes I'll write a song specifically for that formula, and other times I'll just stumble across something that I think, yeah, that could work as the Mother Hips, as a Mother Hips song. And if the guys in the band, if I play it for Greg and John and they like it, then, and if they like are compelled to learn it on their own, then that's a good sign also. But sometimes that doesn't happen. I'll bring a song to those guys and it falls flat, or it just doesn't catch a hold, and that's cool too. I don't really care.
Was that kind of a learning process to shed the ego and just like, if it's not jiving with the band, just like, okay, that's fine?
Yeah, that's why a lot of people that have been in bands for a long time also have like solo like projects or whatever. I don't like that word, but they put out solo albums because it's another outlet. If there's a song that I really think was good and that the band didn't take to it for whatever reason, then sometimes I'm like, well, I know it's like, I believe in it still. I want to record it and put it out.
Mm-hmm. Nice. It's nice to have that outlet to.
Yeah,
out a lot of like solo albums or like separate recordings.
Yeah, quite a few. It's been a while since I've put one out though, so. I'm just completing a new one, and that's going to come out hopefully in like April or something like that.
Okay, awesome. Back to songwriting. How would you describe sort of your ideal songwriting environment? Like, do you seem to like work better when you're traveling, or like, when you're out in the wilderness in solitude, or like what's sort of the ideal environment to work out a song?
I find that walking is like a sort of meditation. I'm not like a person that meditates willfully, but walking long distances, when you start to get kind of tired and it's sort of monotonous and you're walking along, I think that can put your brain into this meditative state where it allows, I think of it as your conscious brain relaxes and your unconscious brain relaxes. And I think that my unconscious brain is like, it wants to stay secret. It wants to stay unconscious. That's why it's unconscious. But once in a while, it lets some stuff slip. It gets relaxed. And when you get tired physically, I think that can happen sometimes. And there'll be these little messages from your subconscious brain that slip into your conscious brain. And dreams are that same process, I think. That's where I get a lot of my ideas. So like early in the morning when I first wake up, if I can remember my dreams, if my subconscious is allowing them to pass through, then I quickly write them down or tell somebody about them as quick as I can. And that's the only way that they stay. Otherwise, they vaporize very quickly, as we all know. And so that's cool, but I can't really walk anymore because I got injured. And so that's kind of a bummer, but it hasn't really slowed me down musically. You just have to have time. It has to be private and quiet, and you can't let the world be too much with you. You have to sort of find a way to quiet down the world around you.
And a lot of people know about you that you're a big surfer. I'm wondering if when you were surfing, if that ever was able to kind of stimulate that unconscious brain and trigger some writing
at times it would. The place where I normally surfed was Ocean Beach in San Francisco, which is kind of intense place to surf, so it wasn't that meditative. It's more like alternating between ecstasy and terror, which was fun. And I miss it. I can't really surf. I mean, I might be able to surf, but I haven't tried since I got injured. But yeah, sitting on a surfboard, like and watching the sun go down in the evening and when it's calm and you're just sort of bobbing around on the waves. It's pretty cool. That's a pretty nice place to just sit and think about stuff.
And you mentioned the injury, the accident while speed flying. Would you mind sharing that story for our listeners who might not know
about that? Sure. Yeah, I was sort of talked into learning how to paraglide from a close friend of mine. And I was always pretty scared of it. But I just decided that I was tired of being scared of it. I wanted to just tackle it. So I took a bunch of lessons and got some my ratings for flying a paraglider. And then, but what I really wanted to do was fly the smaller, faster wings. And not too long after I started flying those, I had like 30 successful flights, which is not very many. And then on the 31st flight, I just crashed and got gravely injured. And I've just been dealing with that for over 2 years now. But I can walk now, to some degree. I can walk like around the town, but I can't really like go hiking or something.
And how has the accident like affected your music career, and both like as like performance wise, but also like has it inspired any writing or new ideas for songs or anything like that?
Yeah, it's certainly. I think when you something like that major happens to anyone in life, it changes everything. It changes the way you think. It changes your lifestyle. I mean, I spent months and months and months laying in a hospital bed. And I read a lot of books, more than even I normally read, and wrote a lot of words and learned a lot of things about myself and about just people in general and what it means to change your circumstances, to have your circumstances changed on you. It puts a lot of things in perspective. And there's been a lot of value to that, for sure, but also lots of despair, lots of times when I felt really sorry for myself and just bummed out.
You mentioned learning things. What, you mind if I follow up and ask, what's one of the biggest things you learned?
Well, I learned that your own self-image is an interesting thing. I always, my self-image was that I was a, I'm a pretty athletic guy. I have like an athletic build, and I was into, surfing some good size waves and skiing in the backcountry and rock climbing and backpacking and bicycling, all that stuff. And, if you would have asked me 2.5 years ago, I would have said that's very much what makes me who I am. It was important to me. It still is important to me, and I miss it dearly. But it really isn't. It isn't me. It's. You can take all of that stuff away and I might even be more me than I was before because I'm not distracted by, quote unquote, like recreational activities. All I can really do now is, create music. And I've become way more focused than I've ever been. And there's been some other components to making that happen, like such as getting signed to a record label that's given me a lot of resources and has allowed me to really do nothing but just record music and write music, and that's a huge blessing.
I think that's the first I've heard of it. Which record label is it?
It's called Blue Rose Music.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
It's been really, really good. The Hips got signed to the same label, and Greg did as well, and Jason Crosby, who's just playing, and Jackie Green as well.
Cool. Can we talk about Jason Crosby, the story about how you guys met and first started playing music together?
Yeah, that's actually really, really appropriate. Jason, as far as I know, he moved from the East Coast to take some gigs that were being offered to him out here. And so he just, in my like perspective, he just all of a sudden kind of showed up like fully formed. I was like, who is this guy? He's so good and he seems really nice, but I didn't know him. But I sort of made it a point to like introduce myself and just say like, I would love to play some music with you sometime. And we hit it off pretty well and made a little music. And then he got signed to Blue Rose Music before I had even heard of it. And he had recorded some songs for his first solo record on the label, and he needed some more songs. He needed something that was more rock. The label felt like they needed like some more rock and roll on the record. So Jason said, "Hey, what do you think about helping me write some rock songs, and then we can have the Mother Hips be the band?" And I was thrilled. I said, "Of course." So we were in Kauai for like a week or something, and we had a lot of free time. And we played a show out there together, and then we just sat around and just wrote music. And that turned into, you know, five or six songs from his solo record called Cryptologic. And through that process, I met Joe Paletto, who's the founder of Blue Rose Music, and we hit it off really well. He liked what I had done with Jason, and so he ended up signing me, and then he heard the Hips and signed the Hips, and then signed Greg. So it's been really cool. It's been super, like, action-packed year.
Nice.
And which is nice. Yeah, I kind of needed something.
You like to be busy.
I do. I like to be busy, and I like to make music. I have a lot of ambitions that I still need to try to fulfill.
Nice. Well, I wanted to talk about touring for a little bit too, because, you know, of all the Chico musicians that have come out, you've probably done more touring than anyone. So
perhaps.
I'm curious, like, well, what do you like best about the traveling musician lifestyle, and what are some aspects of it that you find challenging?
I like that. A lot of people use this term, but it's like being in a bubble. It's like you're in this little, your own little self-sustained bubble that just travels all around the country or the world. And you get so used to being in that bubble that it's like you don't want to leave. Like when it's over, you have to go home and unlock your front door and come in, and the house smells kind of stale because no one's been in it for a month or two, and there's a giant pile of mail sitting there, and you have to open each one. And it's like coming back to the real world. There's something escapist about being on tour, which since I've toured a lot of my adult life, it's a place that I'm comfortable with, and I don't necessarily like it that much. Like, I will say that I haven't toured very much in the last 2 years since I had been injured, and I don't really miss it that much. You know, I miss playing music. I miss creating the music on a stage, but I don't necessarily miss traveling and staying in hotels and eating at the Cracker Barrel and sitting around in a backstage for 4 hours a day.
I'm sorry, I don't know what the Cracker Barrel is.
Good. No, it's just a chain of restaurants that is found in the middle part of the country.
Oh, okay.
Generally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So you mentioned, well, that's the next question. Well, I wanted to ask about living in San Francisco and being a musician in San Francisco. What's something that you, what do you like about living in the Bay and being a musician in San Francisco? And what's something that you wish was different about the city?
I moved recently to Marin County, so I don't live in San Francisco anymore, which is, it's a little sad. I lived right at the beach. I had a really nice setup there, and I definitely miss living at the beach. But San Anselmo, where I live now, is a very pleasant little small town kind of tucked away in Marin County. And I like being able to walk to the downtown area. I think I find that to be really pleasant. And the weather's really good. I'm not so concerned with the music scene anywhere that I live, because I'm just not home enough to really partake of that. In Marin County, that you have Terrapin Crossroads, which is Phil Lesh's club, and there's a lot of musicians that come in and out of there, and there's quite an active scene there, and I've done my fair share of gigs there, and but I don't really want to spend a lot of my time playing Grateful Dead songs. I'm just not that interested in it. I like the band, sure, but I have a lot of work to do on my own. I'd rather write songs than learn someone else's songs.
Yeah, some things stay the same since the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I like it because it's just quiet where I live, and there's good studios that are close by, and there's nice trees and good weather. It's a nice spot.
Well, I just have two questions left. The first one is, what's the best songwriting tip you've ever gotten?
Wow, that's might take me a second.
I ask you this question because I have friends who have said that the best tips they've ever gotten have been from you. So, like,
really?
Yeah. Wow. So I want to see what's the best songwriting advice or tip that you've ever gotten from someone else.
Oh man, I can think for a second, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We can edit this.
Oh
out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a half an hour if you want.
No. I'm trying to think. I mean, like, Johnny Cash talked to me about writing songs once. I'm trying to, like, remember something. That would be a good one to pull out. I just can't quite remember. I mean, I can't say that it's ever been advice that someone's given me. I just don't think people have given me very much advice as a songwriter.
Oh, it could just be something you discovered on your own, too.
Yeah, right. That's probably more what it's going to be.
Something the universe revealed to you.
Right. I would say that the most important thing about writing a song is that the voice has to be 100% believable. I don't mean the singing. I don't mean like the vocal performance, although that's also very important. But just the voice that the writer is writing in, it has to be, people have to believe it 100%. And that's easy to do if you're just writing about your own stuff, you know, like I woke up today and I felt sad and I took a walk and looked at the trees. That's believable. It's not very compelling, but it's believable. But it's when you start getting into characters and writing about stuff that's bigger than yourself, and you just have to make sure that people believe it. I mean, that's what the great writers all have. You never doubt them for a second.
And my last question is about the song that you're playing for us today in the studio. Which song are you playing for us, and what can you tell us about it?
I'm going to play a song called California Way, and that was originally came out on a record called Land and Sea Shanties, which I recorded in Morro Bay in about 1998, I think. It was my first solo record. And at that time, I was living in San Luis Obispo, and I was driving through the Salinas Valley pretty often, and reading, you know, East of Eden, as most of us will do at some point. And I was surfing. There's this place called A Beach, which is just north of Morro Rock, and I would surf there pretty often when I was making this record, because the house was just right across the street from the beach there. And there was like a. I don't know if it was like a memorial. I remember it just being like a flyer that someone had printed and stuck it on this little wooden post in the sand dunes. And it just explained that it was like these two brothers that were probably in their teens had been swimming right out there, and they both drowned. And their mom and dad were trying to save them. It was just this awful story, and I don't know why there was a flyer of that. Maybe one of the boys hadn't been found yet or something like that. I can't remember, but it made a really strong impact on me, and that was kind of what started me thinking about the roots of that song. That's pretty much it. That and just spending a lot of time driving up the 101 through the Salinas Valley. There's this row of eucalyptus trees that I heard recently that it's been chopped down. They were really big and really old, so it doesn't surprise me, but there was a big windrow that's just to the west of the highway, just north of King City, this beautiful row of these trees that always just was a memorable sight when I was making that drive. But I think it's gone now. They chopped them down.
So sad.
that's the way it goes.
Yeah. Well, Tim Bloom, thank you so much for coming to North State Public Radio today.
Thank you, Nolan. It was an honor to be here. Thanks.